or a miracle at the end than 2 Kings 5. A lot of this narrative is really not difficult. You might be able to pull something out of it. 2 Kings 5 is a good illustration or parallel of the charismatic movement. So, what goes on in a charismatic movement where people think that they're getting healed and all that stuff. And that's those people are, I get more respect for the mafia than I do for these fake healers on TV. Because there's a lady years ago down at Rensselaer, Pearl Bazell. She's gone now, but she had a little hanky, and she'd gotten it from Robert Tilton, and Robert Tilton said that he was that her son was going to be healed on such and such day, and he died the day before. If he'd just made it one more day, he'd have been healed. And she was just beside herself, and she didn't know what to do with the hanky or the snot rag. I said, I'll take it. I just felt so bad for her. You're sitting there watching these people on TV, and they promise you the world, and they don't give you anything. So, I mean, that's something. Robert Tilton was the guy that I sent him a letter. He had a little booklet about a seed faith vow. So basically what he taught in there is that if you send $100, God will send you a $100, God will send you $1,000. Something like that. 100-fold, no. Whatever the figure was. So I sent it back to him, and I said, I don't really need that kind of money. So how about if you send me your seed faith vow, and then God in return will send you $1,000? And he wrote back, said, we're not supporting churches right now. And I wrote back, I said, I wasn't talking about support. I was talking about you, Robert Tilton, getting your money out of your pocket and sending it to our church so you can get $1,000. And, of course, it's quiet. Has anybody ever seen Robert Tilton videos online? Hilarious. Huh? Farting preacher? They're called Farting Preacher because he makes some great facial expressions, and somebody put all the sound effects to him. There's about 7 or 8 of them online. It is hilarious. So, okay, 2 Kings 4, and let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to, as we read the narrative, we're thankful for your power. And obviously, we live in a day and age where we know you haven't changed, but you have changed some methods. And with Elijah and Elisha, you had some miraculous things take place, but you used these men in a miraculous way. But you didn't do that with Isaiah. You didn't do it with Jeremiah or Ezekiel. And it's part of a program that you have, and help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Kings 4:38, and Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. So dearth, if you look at the word, the English language is fascinating. Dearth is a drought, or it's the death. You can see how the word is. It's death of the earth. So it's a drought, bad drought. Okay, and the sons of the prophet were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot. That's not a toilet. Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. And he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people, and this they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. So it's just this real simple miracle. Guys on TV won't do that. And so from God's perspective, you know, it's just matter of fact. A miracle from our perspective is amazing. From God's perspective, it's just setting aside one natural law for another. And so that's all that he's doing. Okay, 42 is another, just a brief, quick storyline. For there came a man from Baal Shelisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley. Now, has anybody ever had barley bread? Anybody, barley bread? Lisa, have you had barley bread? Okay. Jen, have we made barley bread? I think there's something there with barley. It's usually a northern, extreme northern crop. Remember we used to have barley green? Ooh. Barley green was our first green stuff. It was tough. But it was healthy. And there's been some people that have cattle or horses that will feed them barley hay, and it's just a great benefit to them, more so than wheat hay or alfalfa. There's a fella in Canada. Remember we went up to Canada and we come back down. He would grow barley in his basement and get it about that tall and feed it his horse. His horse was about gone. When he started doing that, that horse just came to life, he said. Barley is the bread that he fed the 5,000s with. So I think Americans, maybe we ought to look into the barley. There's something about it. When you sprout it and it gets about 10 inches or something like that, that's where it's the healthiest. And that's what the fella up in Canada, what he did. So there's something about barley, and then full of ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And the servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. So it's just, you would think, why would he put that in there? Well, I don't know. So you ask when you get to heaven. But there's something to it. There's something in there. So chapter 5. Chapter 5 is doctrinally, I do think it might have significance for Gentiles in the tribulation. That's about all I can give you on that. Practically and spiritually, it exposes the charismatic movement and the healing, fake healing meetings that they do. Okay, and what they often do is they'll put somebody who is really wheelbound in the back and never bring them up. And these poor people are left given false hope. And so Naaman is a captain of the host of the king of Syria. So he's a Gentile. Was a great man with his master and honorable. So that's a term that's often used for senators, congressmen, judges, your honor, honorable. Most of them are not. But this man was, because that's what the narrative says. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So he had this disease, and that's an unusual disease. Some feel that one fella that I know of, I don't know him personally, was a missionary to lepers, I think in India. From his experience, he felt that leprosy was a killing of the nerves in the body. And the reason why they would lose a toe or a finger is because a mouse or a rat would chew it off at night and they couldn't feel it. It was deadening of the nerves. He watched where somebody could not open a door a 9-year-old boy take his hand, and he was twisting on the doorknob, and blood was coming out of his hand, and he didn't feel it. But the little guy got it open. And so that's one viewpoint of leprosy. It's a deadening of the nerves. Leprosy, I do believe it's very similar to AIDS. And in Leviticus 13 and 14 are two chapters that deals with the process of leprosy and how they're supposed to work with it. You know, go figure, Leviticus 13. And I do believe that is going to be the disease in the tribulation of people who take the mark, according to Revelation 16. But I do think it's akin to AIDS. AIDS originally, remember, was called GRID, gay-related immunity disease, but that was politically incorrect, so then they changed it to AIDS. So this man was a leper. It must have not been too serious because he was still in the public. And the Syrians, now Syria, remember, Antioch of Syria is where the Bible went from Jerusalem up to Antioch of Syria in the book of Acts. And that becomes the manuscripts for the basis of the King James Bible. So the Syrians had gone out of companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. I tell you, they just used people as chattel. Little maid. The little girl could have been bitter. They probably ripped her away from her family. And now she's a slave. But it's an amazing thing. And then she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You could almost see the innocence of her. If you went to my church, you would have gotten better. My Lord can help you. Okay, but you know, if she was a bitter for becoming a slave because she was taken captive, she probably would have rejoiced that this guy was suffering from leprosy. But she says, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria." So that would obviously be Elisha. And then she said on her miss, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel." Who's going to listen to a little kid? A humble man will. A man who's desperate will. So what we're going to see is the assumptions that these people have. "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel, and the king of Syria," so this got to the king, "said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." So when somebody is a real faith healer, they don't have to ask for a seed faith vow. That's automatic. All they would have to do is go to a hospital, heal about 10 millionaires, and their ministry would boom with money. And so this is exposing the faith healers or the fake healers on TV. When they ask for money, that's proof that they're fake, because they wouldn't have to ask for it. 10 talents of silver, man, that's silver price is $70 now. So that's quite something. "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy."